you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. I got to thinking this week, this just never gets old, church. I can't think of a single time when I got tired or bored of worshiping Jesus. This is what we were created to do, and I'm thankful that we love to do it. I wonder if that's your heart, if you just love to worship Him. Would you do it because He's worthy, not necessarily because I asked you today, but because this God is worthy, and this is what we love to do, is glorify You. In the midst of Your presence, we magnify You this morning, Lord. Oh, thank You for Your glory that's here. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. So thankful to be able to gather together and worship Him today. On that note, as was noted, so grateful for every guest that came to be with us today. Whether you're watching online or you're here in the building, we are glad that you are at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We may not have even met you yet, but we love you. And we're thankful you're here. We want you to feel right at home today because we believe that you are home today. We'd love to connect with you both during and after this service. In the meantime, feel free to enjoy the presence of God that is here in a powerful way. For all of our guests and some that may not know, we are on a mission together this year as a church family. And that mission is to simply be the church, be the body of Jesus Christ. Today I want to preach along those lines, and I want to focus on the anatomy of the body and specifically on the head Himself, who we know and understand from Scripture is Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, I want to direct your attention to Colossians 1 and verse 15. It says, He, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He's before all things. In Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. To paraphrase this powerful passage, we read that everything that was ever created was created by Him and for Him, which includes the church and every member within it. So it's safe to say that He is the head of creation. He's the head of the body, and He's the head of every member within the body. He's sovereign. He's preeminent over all. He's supreme. He's predominant in the earth. He's autonomous. He's matchless in all of creation. He is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, and for the sake of my direction and my premise today, I will say it like this. He is the head of the house. That's my title this morning, and what I want to preach to you for the next several minutes. I want to preach today about the head of the house. Before you're seated, I wonder if you just exalt Him as head over all again. Just begin to exalt Him in your life and in your own experience, in your own home, in your own personal frame. Would you begin to exalt Jesus right now? Lord, we lift You up and exalt You over anything and everything. As our text said, over every principality and power and ruler and entity, we exalt You as the head over all today. We glorify You. And in doing so, we're just setting up Your word to help us today. We love You and praise You and exalt You in Jesus' name. Before you take your seat, tell someone nearby, He is the head of the house. I still recall vividly the day that I struck out on my own, moved out of my parents' house where I had resided for over 22 years, my entire life to that point. I was becoming my own man. I was soon to be married to my wonderful wife, Mariah. So as the scriptures say, I left my father and my mother, and I moved all the way to the other side of the city. It was almost 28 miles away to the land of South County. To my family, it might as well have been the other side of the planet. They're thinking, you just moved away so far. Like 28 miles, come on. But this was it. I was officially an adult. I was on my own now. I was all alone in this world. Except when I needed things like groceries, and I'd head back to North County from time to time and grab some from my parents' house, or the three or four times a week that I'd see them at church or family gatherings. But this was it. All that It is aside now because I have my own place. I have my own abode. I have my own domain. I distinctly remember standing in the hallway near the living room of our empty house and just kind of standing looking over like this. You know, I had this look at my face and I was thinking, this is my place. I got to protect it. I'm the man of this house. If you ever see your husband or someone standing just looking into an empty space, this is probably what they're thinking. These are the things that go through our minds from time to time. I knew I had arrived. I was finally a fully grown man. I had authority in this place. I had sway and influence here. What I said would resound through the hallways and through the hearts of those who resided in that home. I was the top dog now. This was obviously before Mariah moved into the house, but that's beside the point. As many of you know, there's just something about your house, your domain, your space. It strikes a note of confidence and comfort. This is your place. This is where you reside. This is where you're the most comfortable and the most at ease. You may feel uneasy in other places and in other environments, but typically your home is your haven and your refuge. It's your sanctuary. It's your shelter. And as I said, it's your domain. It's your kingdom, so to speak. It's the place where you reside and you preside. And to use a common term in our vernacular, it's the place where you're the head or where you're the head of that household. And based on this analogy alone, we start to get some perspective on the passage that we just read a moment ago, along with many others just like it. If I could use this analogy today of the house with respect to our sovereign Lord and his dominion and his domain, I would remind someone today that this world and everything in it, it belongs to him. Nothing is beyond his dominion. Nothing is beyond his control. Nothing is outside of the bounds of his authority and his supremacy. It's all his, and it's all for his glory. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. To use the parallel of the house this morning, I would tell you that the earth and everything in it, it is his house. He reigns over all. He is exalted over all. This is his domain. This is his realm. This is his territory. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. This is his house, everybody. We're just living in it today. This is his creation and his conception. And we just have the privilege of taking up some space on it this morning. This is his handiwork and his formation. And you and I just get to be a part of it. This is his house. In fact, he built it all himself. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. The world and all those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the waters. 1 Samuel 2:8 says, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on those pillars. He gave boundaries to the waves. He laid the foundation himself. He made something out of nothing. He fabricated the earth with his eternal power and his eternal word. He made it all for his own glory. It was for him. It was by him. It was through him. Every power, every principality, every ruler, every entity is under his control and his domain. This is his house. This is his domain. In fact, Isaiah 66:1 calls it his footstool. I dug a little bit into that word trying to figure out, okay, what does this actually mean? I found out it actually means footstool. It's a place someone sets their feet. But it shows us a picture of God's rule over the earth and over his own dominion. I got to thinking about it recently after Sister Amber preached that powerful word several weeks ago. That this earth and this place, we get to worrying about so much and we start panicking. We get anxiety over it. It's where God rests his feet. It's his footstool. That doesn't mean we shouldn't care about it and the lives that are on her or be concerned for what transpires upon it. But if we could just get our eyes off of the house for a moment and get them fixated back on the head of the house for just a second, we would realize that he is still fully in control of this place that we call home. And this place we call, this is his house. This is his domain. And nothing happens within it without the head of the house being fully aware of it and fully in control of it. He knows what's happening in his house. He knows what's going on in his creation. So it's worth repeating. We've got to get our eyes back on the one who sits on the circle of the earth rather than solely fixating on the earth itself. He is still sovereign in all the earth, and this is still his house. Our text says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. In him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Ephesians 1 and 22 reflects a similar viewpoint. It says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All things are under his feet. They're under his purview, including his house and all of creation. He is sovereign in all the earth. He's before all things, and in him all things consist. All of creation is under his headship, and that includes, of course, his own body, the church, of which he is undeniably the head. He's the head of creation. He's the head of his house. And we also understand today that he's the head of this house, this church, this body. He's the head. Colossians 2 and 7 says, we, as the church, are rooted and built up in him. And verse 10 says it, we're made complete in him who is the head over all. So the same God who is the head of creation is also the head of his church. He's the cornerstone and the foundation. He's the architect and the founder of the earth and of his body, the church. He's the head of the body and the head of its members as a whole, which means that he's sovereign over it. Just as he's sovereign over the earth, he is in control of the body and his church. This is his domain. This is his kingdom. This is his house and his body. Using this analogy from Scripture and the anatomy of the body as our God, we start to see a true picture of our relationship with Jesus as the church. He's the head, we're the body, which showcases the vital connection that we share with Jesus Christ. He is the one who controls and who dictates what we do as a church. We're just an extension of who he is. You see, the head is where the body receives its marching orders and its direction. The body as a whole and every member within it is controlled and directed by the head himself in a physical sense. Every finger and every toe and every arm and every leg and every muscle is controlled by the head. So if the head says to do it, we ought to do it. If the head gives direction, we ought to follow that direction. If the head gives a command, we ought to follow that command. In fact, if in the natural sense the head was not obeyed, and the fingers and the arms and the eyes just did whatever they wanted, something's wrong. Something's up. Something's out of sync there. In the same way, this church follows the direction and the command and the word and the spirit of its head, Jesus Christ. We are not a disconnected body doing our own thing. We are attuned to the head of this thing, who is Jesus Christ himself. We are following his direction. We're following his command. We're following his word. We're not trying to make it on our own, church. We're not trying to move ahead without him. We are not trying to be the body absent of the head of the body. And if we did, we probably wouldn't make it very far. I don't think I've ever seen a human body getting very far without a head. In other words, if we're going to be His body, we have got to have the head of it all. Jesus Christ Himself. We cannot exist without Him. We cannot function outside of Him. We cannot live disconnected from Him. I want Him in every service. I want Him in every interaction. I want Him in every altar call. We need Him to be the head of His church. We want Him at the center of all that we do. We want to emulate Him in all that we are. Just as a body cannot live without its head, we cannot survive and we cannot live and we cannot operate as the body without Jesus Christ. Hear me today. A body without a head is a dead body. So a church without Jesus is a dead church. A church without Jesus, without His presence, without His word, without His spirit, it ceases to be a church at all. We simply cannot and do not want to be the church without Jesus. I want Him in every worship service. I want Him in every prayer meeting. I want Him in every Bible study. I want Him to meet us on Sundays and Wednesdays and every last day in between. We want Jesus to be the head of His church and His body. Oh, I wonder right now, could we just pause and let Him know that as a church, as a body, would you lift your hands and your voices and tell Him, Lord, we need You. We want You as the head of this thing. We want You at the center of this body, the center of this church, the center of everything that we do, the center of everything that we are. I don't want just want You on Sundays, Lord. I want You every day in between. We need You. We want You as the head, and we cannot live without You as a church. The fact remains, we simply cannot be the church without Jesus, and we cannot be the body without Him, Jesus Christ, the head of it all. And I will say, for that matter, neither can we be a member of the body without Him. See, this analogy of the head of the body is all-encompassing, and that not a single part or member of the body can exist without Him. It's almost as if Jesus knew how perfect this analogy was when He included it in His word. We know we've already established the entire body cannot function disconnected from the head, but the same could be said for every single member of it as well. If any part becomes disconnected, we know that part does not move, it does not function, that part is dead. What are you saying? I'm saying that every member has to individually be connected to Jesus, His or her self. And it's one thing to concede His rule over the church as a whole, but it's another step entirely to concede His rule and reign over our individual lives and members. It's one thing to acknowledge that this world and everything in it is His. It's another thing entirely to submit to the fact that I am completely and wholeheartedly His. I say from experience that we're often okay with Jesus being the head of His house and being the head of the church house, but we can also fall into the trap of compartmentalizing, and we draw a line when it comes to our house and our home. To use that analogy today, I would remind you this morning that not only is He the head of His house and His creation, not only is He the head of the church house and the church body, He is also the head of every member, which means He's also the head of my house and this earthen vessel and this earthen temple. And this is really the crux of the matter today, because if God is to be the head over His body as a whole, He has to be the head of every single member of it. If He's going to have His way in His church, He also has to have His way in our homes, in our individual frames. To clarify, I'm not just talking about our physical homes and families, which I'll get to in a moment, but I'm also talking about what's addressed in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He's the head of creation. He's the head of the church. He's the head of every member within it. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." They were all one member, Where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. If you read this entire chapter, you see he is involved with each and every one of those members individually as well. So God's not just concerned with being preeminent and sovereign in his church as a whole, but he concerns himself with every member of his church in his body. Let me just narrow the lens here and say what I felt in my spirit of late. And that is, I don't believe God is content to be the head of the church house solely, but he's also looking to be the head of your house and the head of my house. His dominion, his domain does not stop when we walk out of these doors, but he desires to be involved and on the throne when we step across the threshold of our homes. He's not just the head of the body. He's the head of every member. He's not just the head of this house. He's the head of my house, my home, my family, my children, my daily life. My daily interactions, my plans, my goals, my future, my job, my workplace, my finances, my entire being. I don't stop being the body when I leave this church family, which means I need the head of the body every single day. And just as the church is dead, if it's not connected in the same way, I am dead if I'm not connected to him as a member of that body. That means I need him on Monday and Tuesday as much as I need him on Sunday and Wednesday. I need him in my heart and in my home as much as I need him in this building. I need him to be the head of my house as much as I need him to be the head of this house. I spoke to our parents along these lines a couple Wednesday nights ago. And if 2020 taught us anything, it's that we need Jesus at the center of our homes. We need him to be the head of our houses. We need him to be the focal point of our families and the focal point of our daily lives. We need Jesus to be the head of the house. And we need him to order our lives and our homes and our steps. We need the head of the house. This morning, I'm thankful for my parents and my dad and our pastoral team who've exemplified this. I was able to learn early on in our marriage, in our home, how central Jesus needed to be. And we're still learning in the DeLong house. We don't got it all figured out. But I can remember times just after we were married that I had to be intentional about inviting God to be the head of our home and the head of our family. I spoke earlier about it being my domain and in my space, but I want my space to be filled with his presence on a daily basis. In particular, I remember a time of prayer just after we were married. I was trying to figure it out as a husband, a young husband. I didn't have it. I still don't. But I remember walking through my home, and all I knew to do was just pray over the doors and plead the blood over every door, just like those families in the Exodus of Egypt. I stood alongside them. God, if there's anything coming in my house you don't want to be here, I pray you'd show it to me. Lord, don't let anything come in my house to affect my marriage or my family. I stood alongside those parents who were facing the death angel in Exodus 12. And you and I may not be facing that particular plague, but our role and our job is just as critical and just as eternal. We stand alongside those people of God, making sure his word is followed in our homes and our families, our earthen vessels. We want him to be the head of the house. Let me just give you a glimpse of what this looks like. Haven't perfected it, but we started to let God sit on the throne in our home and family. And when that happened, there were just things that God didn't want to allow in our home. There were certain media, movies that never came in that had to go out into the trash. There was behavior that had to change, habits that had to be formed. We wanted the presence of God to be welcome in our homes, which meant some other things were not welcome. Just as we will not allow certain things in the church family or church building, we cannot allow them in our homes or in our hearts. If I want to experience the same glory that I feel here right now in this building, I have to have the same level of consecration, conviction, and submission at home. That submission, that conviction, that obedience is what opens the door for God's glory and for his presence in our lives. And when I set him on the throne in our home, when I allow God to be the head, there are absolutely some things that just have to go. But I'm thankful to tell you that the more important and the more eternal things are the things that come to stay. And what a trade-off it is When I lay down some of my desires in exchange for God's glory in my life, what a bargain it is when I let go of some media, some entertainment, some habits in exchange for His peace and His presence, and what a gift it is when I exchange old behaviors and routines for the outpouring of His Spirit in my life. Let me pause here and say, if you've never experienced that outpouring, never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want to encourage you. I realize making Jesus the head of your life, it'll cause some change. It'll cause some concessions. But none of those sacrifices will ever compare to the power of His Spirit in your life. None of that compares to having your sins washed away. None of those sacrifices compare to being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and having a new life in Him. I know on the surface it might appear to be a lot of restrictions and restraint, but the truth is you will never experience a greater freedom and a greater joy and a greater peace than when you let Jesus be the head of your life and the head of your home and the head of your family. 2 Corinthians 3 says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, a veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When He's the true head of your life and His Spirit inhabits your every day and every room in your home, there is a liberty and a freedom you've never experienced. This is the reality of the trade-off today. He's the head of creation. He's the head of the church. And now I believe He wants to be the head of every life. And where His rule and authority is, there's freedom. I say again, there's no freedom like when He's the head of your house, your home, and your temple, which was bought with a price. So today we commit to make Him the head of the house, every earthen vessel within it. We want Jesus to be the head. Musicians, you can come. I mentioned a moment ago, this past year of 2020 showed us the importance of Jesus being at the center of our lives. Saying that, I know, I contend that there's just nothing that replaces gathering together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's nothing that replaces a church family and body. But there's also nothing that replaces the presence of God in our homes and our daily lives. There is no substitute. Some of us are learning this the hard way. There is no entertainment. There is no extracurricular activity that would be worth the trade. We felt that shift this year when we realized we needed to allow Him more space to rule and preside over our homes and our families. In fact, I asked our parents or outlet students several Wednesday nights ago, I said, just give me a show of hands. How many of you had a move of the power and the presence of God in your homes this year? Hands went up all across the room. And I said, how many of you experienced more moves of the glory and power of God in your homes this last year than you had ever had before? Hands went up. Made me so thankful and all the more passionate about what God is doing in our families and what I'm preaching today. It made me more determined that I want God to feel as welcome in my home and my house as He does in this house. I want His Spirit to be as welcome in my living room as He is in this altar. I want His glory in my home. I want miracles to be as abundant in my family as they are in this church. I want Him to be as sovereign in my life as He is in a church service and in His creation. I want Jesus, the head of my house. I close with this story I may have shared several months ago. It's just a snapshot of what can happen when we make room for God. Like I mentioned, this is a daily adjustment for us. Some days easier than others. One Sunday night, during the height of the pandemic, we joined many of you for a time of prayer on a Sunday night, just trying to make room for God in our home and our schedule. Mariah and I started to sing several worship songs exalting the Lord. Mila didn't know the words, but that's never stopped her. Started to sing a song about the Spirit of God being welcome here in our living room. And we didn't make it very far in English before we started speaking in that beautiful heavenly language. God's glory just rushed in. I feel it here today. Mila noticed something was up. We weren't speaking English anymore. She started trying to emulate us. She didn't succeed that day. Someday she will. I thought, why couldn't that happen right in my living room? She would receive the Spirit and the power of God. Why couldn't she get to know Him in our home first and then in an altar later? If God is the head of our home, as welcome there as He is here, she could receive the Holy Ghost right in the middle of our living room during a time of prayer and worship. I might have to make some concessions and sacrifices. Might have to get rid of some things to make room for His Spirit. But that type of reality and freedom alone would be worth any kind of trade. So today, as I invite you to stand this morning in the presence of God, I want to encourage us. We're going to just take some time and pray to make whatever changes are necessary to see that type of freedom and consecration happen in our families. I wonder if you begin to lift your hands right now in your voices and take some time here to recommit yourself and recommit your heart and recommit your family and families if you want to pray together. But I'm asking single adults, I'm asking young people and teenagers and elders and grandparents and moms and dads. Oh, I'm asking for you, for your earthen vessel, for your home, just to spend some time right now. Letting the Lord know, God, whatever it takes, I want you to be central. I want you to be the head of my house. And if you come in, Lord, and there's something that needs to go, if you don't feel welcome in my home, God, I pray that some other things would be put out, Lord, that I wouldn't allow some things in my house, Lord, that would keep you at arm's length. My God, I want your presence. I want your Spirit to be as normal in my home as anything. Oh, I want my neighbors, Lord, to sense the difference, God. I want kids to see me in prayer and to see me walking with you, Lord. I want it to be normal that the glory of God rushes in at family dinner. And your word is followed. Oh, I'm going to put this mic down. We're just going to take some time and commit here this morning. This is worth the time. It's worth the trade-off. Oh, God. Sing it and let's pray. has said we want him at the head of his church, which means we all have to be in agreement. Every member, every part, doing its part. I'd like us to pray. I feel God's presence and glory. He's at the center of this service. But can we be intentional as a church just to let him know, Lord, as Apostolic Pentecostal Church, it's always going to be about you. You're always going to be at the head. Would you help me pray right now, God? We want you, Lord, as long as you would tarry. We want you to be at the head of this thing, God. We want you to be at the head of this church, Lord. We want your word and your spirit to be central to everything. We cannot make it without you. We cannot be the church without you. Oh God, we want to be alive and well. So I pray the connection with you would be as strong as ever, that we wouldn't try to go our own way, Lord, but help us to be connected and attuned to the head of the body. Oh Jesus, we commit as a church, we commit as a body, and every member, that we're going to make you the head of this thing. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We need him. The truth is, others are going to come looking for him and have on a regular basis. My hope and prayer is that every time they come in the doors, they would find the head of the house, find Jesus. I want them to find the body. And the body needs to get connected to them. But the most important connection they can have is with him. I want to, before we go any further, say again. I mentioned already, but if you're here today, you're watching online, you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, repented of your sins, these are simple steps of obedience for you to follow to begin that process of salvation, as well as a walk in a relationship with Jesus. As I said, I know there might be changes that you'd feel to make in your life and your family, but the freedom that comes from the Spirit of God is so worth it. If you want to be baptized again, if you're watching or here today, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you can come to us anytime. We are ready. You could also receive it right at home. If you're watching, you could begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and your life can be filled with the Spirit of God. I've got a room full of people here that can attest it's the greatest thing you will ever experience and encounter. Oh, I wonder if you believe that. Would you just thank him that that was your moment of connection? That was the time that you connected to the head of the body. Thank you, Jesus, for that outpouring. Thank you for the freedom that comes with being connected to you and to the body. We honor you and love you today and glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning.